The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
So anyway, it's a pleasure to welcome for her monthly appearance in the Counting House, the lovely Annette Bunn from Rift Accounting. Annette, welcome.
Hi. Sorry, I just feel like I always turn up and cause chaos. But I do, don't I?
No, but you always turn up and cause chaos. That's why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hi.
But we love you anyway. And we love a bit of chaos on this show because it kind of papers over the crack. She's onto another protein bar.
It's the
That's got chocolate round it.
Basically what Bess got is a chocolate cake. And she's trying to disguise it.
And she's pretending it's a protein bar and that she's all healthy.
Rude. This has got cacao in it.
Oh, well, that's all right then.
Carry on.
Is that like cocoa but pronounced strangely?
No, Nettie. We've had this discussion before about cocoa and cacao. Yeah. It's got all the great oxidants in it before it turns into cocoa. Carry on.
Quite a lot of justification there.
Yeah, do you know I'm on B12?
I'm sticking to the gin.
Right. Okay, listen.
Anyway,
who have you got for us, Nettie?
I've brought you a very sensible lady this week. No, this is Sonia. So, Sonia, we started working with us at Rift probably about 2 or 3 years ago
isn't it?
That's right. And Sonia never fails to amaze me because she doesn't know this, but I sneakily look at her website every now and again when I see her name on a report or something. And she is the most amazing creative artist, I'm going to say, who actually turns it into cake. Mm-hmm. And you've really got to hear the story because it's really good fun. And when I went and met Sonia, I'll never forget, she gave me a biscuit that her mum had made.
Right.
Not even her own.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah?
Yes.
Not even her own produce.
Was it a vintage biscuit?
It was. Her mum's lovely. She's German.
She's German.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
It was a beautiful biscuit, but I thought, you know, I'm going to get one of Sonia's treats.
So it was a German biscuit?
Yeah. Got a treat from her mum. No treat from Sonia.
She's an amazing baker, though.
She is, but so are you.
What are those rolls that the Germans eat? Gretchen?
Chocolate ones, which are like sour.
Brötchen.
Yeah.
Bread rolls.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I was thinking of more of the chocolatey.
Stollen.
No, it's a chocolate. No, Brötchen. It's almost a donut, I'm thinking of. It's a bit like a donut. I'll post you one.
No, but Brötchen. Years ago, I was working in Bremen and... being a South London boy, I missed my full English breakfast, but they had Brötchen and cheese and ham, and I absolutely fell in for that. The Brötchen were really nice.
It's the best way to start a day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
No
problem. I think I'm going to leave you to talk to Sonia because
I think that's a good idea.
Chaos as usual. But
yeah.
She has a great, like I said to you, Paul, she has a proper kitchen table to what she's got now.
Mm.
Story.
Okay, well, let's start at the beginning. Sonia, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's the Whitstable Cake Company.
Correct.
Here you are. So tell us about your journey. What made you start? When did you start baking cakes? And we'll go from there. Let's start with that.
Okay, so I'm actually a primary school teacher by trade. I was a primary school teacher for 14 years. And I felt pregnant and on my maternity leave, discovered baking. So haven't baked all my life or anything like that. It's a fairly recent thing. And I suppose
I just feel the need to inject this. So you were pregnant and you decided to bake. Was that some kind of obscure? couldn't get hold of a pickle
It wasn't enough. I needed flour and sugar and all sorts of cocoa, not cacao.
Yeah.
I needed it in my life.
Right.
So I started baking. And so after my daughter was born, I decided that I wanted to start turning my little bakes into something that looked a little bit more attractive than slapped together with a bit of buttercream.
So when you started, you were just baking for your own consumption?
For myself and my husband. I made a couple of cupcakes and they looked pretty rubbish, to be honest. And we ate them, they tasted great. And I said, I'd love to learn how to make these just look a little bit prettier. So I went on the internet and Googled cake making courses in Kent. And I found a really small place somewhere down on the south coast. And it was an afternoon course, a couple of hours on a Saturday. And I went down and I loved it. I had so much fun decorating these cupcakes. And there was lots of other ladies in similar situations to myself. And took the cupcakes home, took about 50 photographs of them from all different types of angles, and I had all these cupcakes, took them round to a friend's house, and she said, oh, they're lovely. She said, will you make my wedding cupcakes? Pardon, what? No, I don't do that. She said, oh, no, they're lovely. She says, look, all I'll pay for your ingredients, I'll do this, that and the other. And she said, but just, I would love you to make them. I said, oh. So she kind of persuaded me, and I said, how many do you need? Thinking she'd say 20 or something. She said 60. And can you decorate a cake to go with them as well? No, I can't. No, I cannot do that. She said, yes, you can. And she had complete faith in me. But it wasn't enough for me. So I then went back online and Googled wedding cake cupcakes. And I found a company based in Crowbridge, who did slightly more advanced courses. And so I went along to one of those.
Okay.
And from that point onwards, it became an addiction. I loved it. I loved the people I met. They were proper cake makers. They knew what they were doing. And of course, at this point, I was baking and baking and baking and practicing these cupcakes because I couldn't get them wrong for my friend. Got to the wedding, set up the wedding cupcakes. And at the wedding, I had 3 inquiries, 4 orders. And I kind of went, I might be onto something here. I'll just set up a little company, because I knew that at the point you take payment for stuff, it's legally, you know, you have to register. You have become a business, whether you like it or not.
Very similar story to Michael's in a lot of ways.
Very similar. Yeah. So I was smiling like mad when he was talking about it. So I did. I registered with HMRC. I let Environmental Health know, and I was literally working on my kitchen table,
sure,
with a handful of cake decorating implements. And somebody said to me, "Oh, you should get a Facebook page and put all your lovely little creations on there." So I did, and within about a fortnight, a complete stranger contacted me and asked for a cake, and I was like, oh, this is getting proper now. And she wanted a castle cake. And I didn't know what I was doing on this cake. It was for her daughter's 3rd birthday. And she only wanted a little cake. She got, it was bigger than a wedding cake. It was huge, absolutely enormous, but she loved it. And she actually has become she was a regular client. I recently did her wedding cake. But yeah, it sort of snowballed from there. She started recommending me to her friends, and it took off from there. And very quickly, after a couple of years, I sort of outgrew the kitchen counter. And we did some work at home, had a big extension built, and I said to my husband, can I have a cake studio built, please?
As you do.
As you do. And I think he just wanted me out of the kitchen, to be honest.
Yeah.
As it was starting to sprawl everywhere. And so I had a cake studio built, and got quite busy. So I put an advert out for somebody to come and work for me on an ad hoc basis and do a bit of modelling and stuff like that. And I found Joe, who has worked with me ever since. And a couple of years ago, it was about 3 years ago, I touched base. I got recommended Rift, and Nettie came to speak to me, and we talked through the sort of implications of having a real business with premises. And at that point, I shelved it because I panicked. I was a bit scared of it.
It's me, probably.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And Nettie has that effect on people.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to rant about this. Yes, I am. This annoys me more than anything else. Mm. You know, people don't understand the ramifications of regulations that people make without thinking through. And almost every regulation that's ever been put out by any politician has negative impacts on business that drive it in a different way. And one of the problems for people such as yourself that are making artisan foods is when they come across the actual business implications and all the shenanigans around VAT and all that kind of, quite a lot of people just give up and they just go, do you know what? It's really not worth my while starting a business.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's appalling that we force people down that route.
It's very intimidating. I mean, I'm a teacher. That's what I do. I'm not a business person. And as Nettie will probably know, they must have the patience of a saint. My my accounting work is knowledge is nil, and I'm forever emailing.
Yeah, but we
over.
Can't make cakes.
Yeah, no. but this is the entire thing, isn't it? The vast majority of people that go into business aren't accountants or tax specialists or anything. We go into business because we like building bikes, mm-hmm. or because we like making cakes, or we like building websites. Mm-hmm. And then the government tried to make us into accountants, yeah, and go, well, you've got to do digital tax returns and VAT returns. You know, if we do all the work for them and then give them all the money, what's the point? What is the point in being in business? Yeah, there's no point in being in business if you're giving half of it to the government and doing the work for them to get the half of the money as well. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so many businesses stop at that point because they don't want to go that next step. And it is tough, you know.
Yeah.
I know lots of people that have artisan food businesses, you know, making pickles or chili sauce or cakes or whatever, and they start out making great products on their kitchen table. But you get to a point where you have to scale up, and at that point is where it becomes really, really tough. Yeah. So when you got to that point, you just said to the other half, build me a studio, mate.
Well, yeah, and we operated really successfully out of the studio.
Yeah.
It was great. But then again, there was another shift, and we got busier and busier and busier. Mm. And sort of chance would have it, a premise came up very close to where my mother lives in Whitstable, and it's a beautiful, beautiful shop. It's such a pretty looking shop.
Mm. It is. Yeah, it was. It. Yeah, yeah.
And I knew that was where I was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And as luck would have it, the guy that was in there as a tenant was leaving, and I just went along and I got the place and I was really lucky to get it. And we needed to transform it from a greasy spoon calf into a cake shop.
Hmm.
So, yeah, lots of work.
So I haven't been to your cake shop. So it's a shop, but is it also your premises where you construct cakes?
Well, they do all sorts of things.
We're sort of branching out. When I first took the premise, my idea was that the cake baking and the decorating would happen there, and I thought, right, I'll also sell cake making tools and stuff like that. People were coming in and they were ordering cakes, but they weren't buying the retail stuff. So I needed to get rid of that quickly because that was not making me any money. But what people were doing is they were coming in and saying, this is a lovely place. Do you serve coffee?
Right.
No, I'm not a coffee shop. And I got fed up of saying it after about a few months. I bit the bullet and thought, right, I need to get myself a decent coffee machine and put some tables and chairs in here and let's give the customers what they were asking for. They clearly want to sit and have coffee, even though Whitstable is awash with coffee shops. We're not in the centre of town, so there's nothing like it in the area. And so we also serve teas and coffees, and so you can come in and buy cake to take away. You can order a birthday cake. We do everything on site, everything. But the latest sort of evolution came when a customer came in and said, do you do afternoon teas? I said, no, I don't. Would you do that? Okay. So I turned myself my hand to afternoon teas, and they're becoming really massive.
Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pop over there and go, do you do breakfast? Do you know what? I haven't had Birchin for ages. Knock us out some Birchin, love I?
Sonia's got to learn to say no.
No. There's a big market. There's a big market for German breakfast in Whitstable, let me tell you.
No, please. I think my husband would divorce me. But, yeah, so we do. I mean, the afternoon teas are proving really, really popular.
Yeah.
And it's small. I've only got four tables in there, so I can fit the maximum sort of about 18 or 20 people in there. But people are coming in because they've heard their great afternoon teas, and it's lovely. And it's the personal service. It's me.
Yeah.
It's me that does it.
And that's the thing. It's the same with Michael, isn't it? You know, if it wasn't you, it wouldn't be the same, and it wouldn't work in the same way.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it difficult to scale up, because unless you start cloning yourself, there's no kind of real way out of it. Interesting.
I've got Jo who works on the cake decorating side, and she's a phenomenal talent, and I really would be lost without her. But she prefers to be on the cake decorating side around the corner, whereas I prefer a bit more of a customer faced sort of approach, and I like being with my customers and talking with them, and that's where I prefer to be. So it kind of works out really, really well in that respect. But it has got to that point where I think I can't really get much busier, because that means I need to hire somebody properly. And then when I get to that point, well, who do I find? Who do I find that's me, as you know, that cares this much about our business, that talks to customers in the same way that I do? I know that person is out there, and I know eventually, hopefully, I'll have to find that person. But I love what I do, so I'm enjoying doing what I'm doing at the moment.
It's it's interesting, isn't it? Because so many things now in a rule-based society prevent you doing simple things that once upon a time were the basis of anything we do. A classic example, because the French ignore rules completely and don't care about them. Driving around France, the amount of little places you come across that's just got a sign outside that just says boulangerie, yeah, and you go there and it's somebody's kitchen.
Somebody's kitchen, yeah.
And they're just knocking out a few bits of French bread, yeah, basically.
They've done that forever, though.
I was just about to say the same. You know, in a medieval cottage, and you probably find that 17 generations of their family have been knocking out bread.
And they'll continue doing that.
And they'll continue doing it. There's no health and safety certificate on the wall. There's no food handling certificate. They're in the middle of nowhere, so no one's ever going to find them apart from the few people that buy their bread there.
Well, they're serving what they were for.
Yeah, yeah,
which
exactly.
is to serve the community that they live in.
And those community businesses are being ruled out by over-regulation and overruling things that are just pointless. They're put in place for big businesses, yeah, and it kills small businesses. I'm going to stop ranting about this in a minute, but it just drives me nuts, because I love businesses like yours, Sonia. They are a focal point of the community, as Bird said. Yes. You know, your business, I'm not sure where it is because I don't know it, but
it's Whitstable.
But
Sonia, that was a joke.
But Sonia said it's not in the high street.
It's not. It's beautiful.
Yeah. So you know, your community isn't just Whitstable; it's your part of Whitstable as well, isn't it? And that is fantastic if we can run a business like that. I just love little businesses like that. I love micro businesses like that. But sometimes it makes it very hard to run them. So from your point of view, how long have you been going now?
Oh, well, since I started on my kitchen table about 7 years, well, just over, coming up for 8 years. And the shop will celebrate its third birthday. I've been open 2 years, yes.
Second birthday.
I got to think then. On the 1st of September.
Okay. And apart from the breakfast that you're going into, what's the plans for where you go from here?
I do have something on the horizon, but I can't tell you about that just yet.
Production?
but, yeah, I mean, it's definitely to focus and build up on the afternoon tea side of things. Okay. Because that could become a bigger thing than what I'm currently able to provide.
Okay.
On the premises, Sonia, are you? Oh, I've done it.
We're gonna have it a takeaway. We're gonna weedle it out of her.
I can tell you off air.
What's the most outrageous cake you've made? Because I love your creations.
Gosh, there isn't. I don't suppose there's anything that's really outrageous, because I have always turned away orders.
Okay, so what about the most intricate?
Hold on. I want to find out what she turned away orders for.
Rude bits.
Rude cakes. Yeah. I knew it was going to be. I wanted to know about
them.
That.
I won't do them. Yeah.
It's Whitstable, darling. She's classy.
The one that's caused us the most challenging sort of problems has been the an absolutely huge helicopter cake that HM Coast Guard commissioned us to do.
Right.
They were opening up Lydd Air Base,
right,
and Coast Guard base. I think it was last year, just over a year ago, and they wanted an absolutely enormous helicopter that was exactly like the helicopter it was supposed to be. And we made it with a rotating blade on the top, and there was a lot of measuring and just getting it completely perfect. And I was due to go to Disney World. On the day that it was supposed to be delivered, so I asked Jo to deliver it, and bless her, she said yes, but unfortunately her father became ill, so she couldn't deliver it. And I was like, what am I going to do? I'm going to have to come back from Disney or go a day later or something. But fortunately, a local taxi driver who I know stepped into the breach. He was so nervous having to deliver this cake because he knew how important it was, but he did a brilliant job. Mm. But that cake caused us a lot of problems, but so much joy when it got to the place it was supposed to get to. And
Wow. And how long in advance do people have to order their cakes from you now? Because I remember you telling me early days how long your waiting list was.
It's ridiculous, but having the shop has allowed us to do more short-term orders. So we have actually had somebody come in on a morning emailed me at 7:30 in the morning saying it's my son's birthday and we completely forgot to order the cake.
Right.
He picked up his iced cake at 4:30 that afternoon.
Well done.
Right. We can't always do that, unfortunately. No. But we always say to people, you know you're having a party and you know you're going to need a cake, just come down, get it in the diary. Just do it. Doesn't matter if you don't know what your cake is, what you want, how many people are coming, just put it in the diary because when we're full, we're full.
Yeah.
So I don't really know the answer to that, Nettie. Okay. I just don't.
What about wedding cakes? How long in advance are you doing those?
Are you trying to tell us something?
No, nothing at all.
I'm all excited.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. I'm going to be a bridesmaid again.
Yeah. I'm going to be page of honour.
Yeah, that'll be you.
We like, again, as much notice as possible, particularly if your wedding is during the peak season. Mm. But again, we've taken orders with 2 weeks' notice. You know, people have been let down.
Or suddenly decided to get married.
We've had shotguns.
I was bored. I got married.
Had a free weekend.
Yeah, we couldn't think of anything else to do, so we popped down to church, rang up Sonia. She could do us a cake, so we were
and
in.
And afternoon tea.
Yeah.
Game on. But I imagine a lot of people do bit way in advance.
Yes, they do. But also, having the shop front has changed things slightly, which was really unexpected. People are coming in and giving us less notice because we're a shop.
Mm.
You go into a shop, you can order a bunch of flowers to be delivered the next day. Why can't you do that with cake? So actually people ordering wedding cakes, they're doing it sort of now for September, October time, which never happened when I was working from home.
Mm. So I remember you telling me when you were starting out, it was like months.
Absolutely. But now it's, I think, because Joe's with me more often and we've got more space, it's less restrictive. And I've got a better oven. I've got a big industrial.
That's brilliant.
But you also, because you have visible premises, you have what would be called walk-in.
Yeah.
So people walk past like, oh, cake shop, they look nice.
Yeah.
I might get a cake. It's Lucy's birthday next week. I'll get a cake.
Mm.
Yeah, and they come in.
We get that all the time. People come in, they have a cup of coffee and they have a slice of cake. And they're like, oh, we need to order such and cake. Yeah. And they've walked out and they've ordered their cakes. And
exactly.
It's great. Yeah. Get it all the time.
Yeah. Mm. And that is a function of being available and on show, as it were.
Sonia, can I take you back a little bit? You said there was one point that just intrigued me. You said to me, there was this point that I got to and I thought, right, I met Nettie and I've got to build, I can build the business up. And you shelved it. You said, I put it on the shelf.
Yeah, so Nettie came to see me and it was 3 years ago.
Say nice things.
No, she was brilliant. She was really good. She talked me through loads of stuff and I was like, right, okay, I can do this. And then I sat back and it was self-doubt. It was... I'm not good enough. I can't do this. I've got no business experience. I don't know what I'm doing. Yes, I can decorate a cake. Yes, I can talk to clients. But actually having a premise, that means dealing with a whole new set of problems and issues and laws and regulations and stuff that I know nothing about. Mm. And I think Nettie spoke to me then about becoming a limited company as well. And then it wasn't probably until about 6 to 8 months later that I went back to it. I got rid of those self-doubts and I don't know what caused that. I don't know what it was, but it was a case of I'm going to do this now. I'm in my mid-40s, not as young as I used to be. If I don't do this now, I won't do this because I'll run out of energy and I'll run out of enthusiasm and it will be gone and I'll regret that. At least if I do it and it fails, I'll know. But so I thought, right, I'm going to give it a try.
I wonder if that doubt bit, though, comes from... Sorry, Paul. Comes from the fact that you didn't really set out to start a business.
Mm.
Possibly.
It sort of happened. Mm. And then it's that bit about, right, now what do I do with it?
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. I've got a tweet here from Tracy that's relevant to that. She says, the coffee evolution story is great. Unlike the businesses that complained about being asked if they stocked light bulbs and batteries. And what she means is, you know, so many businesses are asked things. They go, no, we don't do that. No, we haven't got that. No, we haven't done that. And it never dawns on them that, hold on, you're the 20th person that you've got, you know.
There's even stories
where people go, you're the 40th person that's asked that. No, we don't. And you go, do you think you're missing an opportunity here? And it's a mindset, isn't it?
Yeah.
Those people like Michael and Sonia that succeed with their businesses succeed because they see something that needs doing and they do it. Mm. Yeah. Whereas a lot of people see something that needs doing and they moan about it.
Yeah.
And therefore it doesn't get done. So it's really important that if you see something that you want to do and you try to do it and it works, then you've succeeded and, you know, you've moved your business on, because I'm a great believer that business, like so much of the rest of life, is an evolutionary process. There isn't a particular plan necessarily. There's just a series of events that you can either do or not do that either work or don't work. And then you get feedback from that and you modify what you do. It's a load of micro innovations. You know, without being funny, you could have started doing teas and coffees and nobody could have come in. Yeah. So eventually you would have gone, do you know what? We'll take the tables out because they're just in the way.
Of course, yeah.
And do something else. But because they work, then you develop it. And then you develop it from doing morning coffee to afternoon tea and so on.
And breakfast, and
you know, then you become famous in the whole of East Kent for doing German breakfast, and then before you know it, you know,
you're doing breakfast.
Yeah, you've got breakfast, and you've got a beer keller, and you're selling Lederhosen and all kinds of stuff, and
there all of a sudden we've given you a scalable business.
Just like that, can I have that for free?
And then you're importing Bavarian Oompa bands, and you know, and it
and you've got the Whitstable Beer Festival.
Yeah.
I'm going, are you?
Exactly. Yeah, she's doing brilliant, isn't she? I mean, we're really loving this.
All without a plan.
I can't believe I missed all this. I can't believe I went down a cake route.
No, stay with the cake. This is just the other bits.
But so many businesses start like that. Mm. You know, Samsung, the South Korean technology business. Do you know what Samsung started off doing? The guy that invented Samsung had a fish stall. That is the start of his business. He used to sell wet fish on a fish stall. And Samsung Electronics grew out of that business.
How?
I was going to say electric eels.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you get wet fish to...
Yeah, But because through a process like yours of evolution, that he started, you know, one day the catch didn't come in, so he sold something else, and that sold better and made more money than the fish. So he stopped selling the fish and he started buying, you know, it's like, what's his chops from
Amazon?
The Apprentice? Huh?
Amazon?
Yeah,
well, Amazon's the same bookstore.
Yeah,
was online now, really. What do we think they're for? They're really a cloud.
Yeah.
Amazing.
But yes, Alan Sugar started selling car aerials, you know, from the back of a car. And, you know, you sell stuff and then something happens and nobody buys it anymore, or you get the opportunity to sell something else, or you see an opportunity where people go, why don't you sell coffee? And you grow from there. And that's what happened to Samsung. And eventually they opened a factory making stuff. And then because you did yada, yada, yada. Nokia, the failed telephone manufacturer, started off as they grew wood. They made wood pulp. You know, so business is an evolutionary process. It never stops, you know, with one thing, because it can't, because products come and go, and people's mores and desires change, you know. So there's all, you know, I own a coffee shop in Canterbury, sort of. And we're sandwiched between, Costa Coffee, Starbucks, and the other one, whatever they're called, Nero, Cafe Nero. But we get rammed when they're empty. And we get rammed just because we're an independent, and a lot of people in Canterbury go, I'm not going in there, they're big corporate coffee shops. I don't want to spend £5 to have my name spelt wrong on the cup. Yeah? They come and have a proper cup of coffee in a proper cup. So, you know, even in a crowded market, there are things that you can do. And that's the beauty of what you're doing, and you're responding to your immediate customer base, and I love it. And I absolutely adore it, and I think it's the basis of a real business.
Thank you.
We're kind of fast running out of time, Sonia, so thank you so much for that. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. I can't wait to sample the broaching.
Thank you very much for having me in.
Yeah, it's an absolute pleasure.
Notice how she put you down there.
Yeah, yeah.
Out. Yeah. You're not Forget finishing it. Me off. I'm finishing you off.
I'm not telling you where I'm in Herne Bay, if you want to know. If people want to find out about the Whitstable Cake Company, though, Sonia, what's your Facebook page, website?
Well, it's at Whitstable, at whitstablecake.com. Mm. And I'm the Whitstable Cake Company on Facebook.
And you're on Twitter as well.
I'm on Twitter at Whitstable Cake.
Are you on Instagram?
I'm on Instagram.
I was going to say, I bet you do really well on Instagram.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Much better than on Facebook now.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. Mm. Completely taken Facebook over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. Sonia, thank you so much
for that.
Thanks so much. And all power for you, to you. Keep on keeping on.
Thank you.
We're fast approaching the end of the show.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.